I'm Barbara Conrad, and I'm the Center Chief for the Center for STI Prevention with Maryland State Health Department, and I will be talking today about using the 10 Essential Public Health Services Framework to support program services coordination and integration. Okay, and our mission is to improve the health of Marylanders by reducing the transmission of infectious diseases, helping impacted persons live longer, healthier lives, and protecting individuals and communities from environmental health hazards. And we do this in partnership with many organizations. Today, I'll be talking about how we selected a framework for strategic planning, how we adapted the 10 essential services of public health to use for a strategic planning process, and outcomes and recommendations. And it's really helpful to hear Deanne talk so much about strategic planning as part of their process, because it just leads right into what I'll be talking about today, though in a somewhat different way. However your pixie started, and I know there have been a lot of different pathways for accomplishing pixie. I have this image or this fantasy that they're, the states that never split are one big happy family. I don't know. I haven't worked in one of those states. I have worked in a state that had separate AIDS and separate STD, and then brought them together a couple years. We had a lot of collaboration, but a couple years ago they were brought together in an official reorganization. So anyway, just to acknowledge, there's a lot of different pathways out there. But at some point, no matter how things have gone and however many bumps along the road there might have been, you do get to the point where it is time for more strategic planning. And we reached that point last fall in our reorganization. And in our leadership team meeting, which included the chiefs for STI, TB, HIV care, HIV prevention, we were trying to figure out what kind of framework will we use for strategic planning. And one of the first things that came up was, oh, let's use the National HIV/AIDS Strategy. That has a nice framework. And that was still, you know, fresh in our minds and all. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. It has a lot to offer for HIV/AIDS work, but how does it apply to TB and STI and all this stuff? So then we started looking, and it's like, there's a lot of frameworks out there. But these, as you see, this is a list of things that are fairly specific to serving very specific purposes. So we wanted to find something that was more generic, that was broader, that would be more inclusive and more flexible. And at first, we looked at a couple classics. We looked at a classic communicable disease framework, you know, primary, secondary, tertiary prevention. And I love that now it has primordial prevention. That wasn't there when I first started working with these things. But we decided this was perhaps a little too broad, that it could be very useful for some other settings or specific questions, but not for our overall strategic planning. We looked at a new classic and had kind of the same assessment of this can help us with some other specific questions, but not broad general strategic planning. I at that point suggested, hey, I work with the National Coalition of STD Directors. NCSD for several years now has been putting together an annual update of what it calls the program core components and strategies. And this is based on the essential public health services. And takes each service, such as the one at the top here, monitor health status to identify health problems, looks at what are the core components, what would you have to have in place to be able to do that work, and then makes recommended strategies, you know, how to make those things happen. And this is updated annually by NCSD. Shared this at the leadership team meeting, and people said, hey, this could be a good framework for us to use. You know, it's national, it's widely accepted, it is generic enough and open enough that everybody can fit into it. But here we had an example of here's how you can use it for planning specific strategies. A little bit of background on the essential public health services. These came out of many years' worth of work that started back in 1994. CDC convened a work group that has, you know, gone on for many years, working with many partners such as APHA, ASTO, NACHO, to come up with what are the essential public health services, and then over the years has developed a lot of training materials and training services related to that. Another way in which you will hear about essential public health services is in the public health accreditation process, which has just recently started, just had its kickoff last fall, in fact, while we were doing our strategic planning process. And here's another name you will encounter, PHAB, Public Health Accreditation Board. And this is the group that takes the essential public health services and takes them the next step into standards and measures that can then be used as the basis for accreditation at state and local level. Now, Maryland State was not at this time interested in pursuing accreditation. That's probably out there in our future, but this is not what we were thinking of last fall. We were just looking at what is a framework that we can use for strategic planning, but I just thought this is good, you know, background for you to have. So here they are, the lovely color wheel, the public health wheel. You'll see another framework that you recognize, assessment, policy development, and assurance. And then within that circle are the 10 essential public health services, starting with the orange one that runs from 12 to 1:30 is on the wheel. Monitor health, diagnose and investigate, inform, educate, empower, mobilize community partnerships, develop policies, enforce laws, link to and provide care, assure competent workforce, and evaluate. Now, if anybody's counting, that's nine. Okay, where's number 10? It's in the center, research, excuse me, which cuts across all, and system management, which cuts across all. And again, these are very broad, and you know, part of why they're so broad is that when these were put together, these have to cover everything from baby car seats to lead poisoning, to communicable disease. So that they are a very broad framework, but there is also something there for everybody. And when doing the orientation for our organization about this, and I did that basic orientation using some great slides from CDC and then adapting them to our purpose, I explained to our units that as you go through these, because each unit was tasked with doing a pre-assessment before coming to the strategic planning work sessions, as you do your unit assessment, you will find there are some of these things that you go through and say, oh, we do a lot of that, or other topic areas where you say, we don't do that at all, and others where you'll say, oh, we're really strong on this, this is where we really shine. But we did go through an effort to apply all of these across all of the units. So for WHO, we included all the STD representation from all the STI, STD, and I kind of go back and forth still between STI and STD. We are the STI Center, but we're in flux with that name. We include representation from all the STD, HIV, TB, and HEP programs, regardless of org chart locations. And our HIV surveillance is located now with overall communicable disease surveillance. But they were included in this planning process, even though they're someplace else on the org chart, because we work with them every day and we need to work with them. A key part here is that with staff, it included staff, not just supervisors. A whole lot of the reorganization efforts and planning up to that point had been done by and conceived of by supervisory staff. And I'm sure that all the supervisory staff talk with their staff, but we made a point in the strategic planning process of making sure that all staff had a chance to participate. And then we included work groups with representatives from all units. How was meetings, meetings, meetings. It started with the orientation session, then we had the pre-assessment by each unit. We selected a work group that actually was about 30 to 40 people that we would break into three smaller sub-work groups. We had facilitated meetings and then leading to recommendations and report back and follow up. The pre-assessment was a really important piece. And for this, for each unit, they looked at the essential services 1 through 10 and looked at, programmatically, what are we doing now? What should we be doing? What do we need to do to get there? And then the same for stakeholders and organizational resources. This was then followed by working in what we called essential services dialogue work groups, where we had three-hour meetings, assigned the essential services to teams, and then gave each team a worksheet. Now, the worksheet really had a lot on it. I know this is a little, too fine to read anything except to see that so this is number 8, ensure the competency of the public and personal health care workforce. What are we doing now? That column includes the input that each unit developed in their pre-assessment work process, so that when the work group that was assigned, look at number 8, when that work group sat down, at the beginning of their meeting, they had in front of them, here's what all these other groups say that they are doing, so that they didn't have to use their time to hear all of that piecemeal. It was like it was right there, and you could scan it and then have discussion around that. Oh, I didn't know you were doing that. Or, you know, whatever came out of that discussion. Or you used the word outreach to mean what? So, I mean, there's a lot of language stuff going on, too. But we were able to start each work group, you know, from a fairly strong foundation, and then move the conversation from there. And that made it so that after really just relatively few sessions, we were able to come up with a consolidated office-level assessment of the 10 essential public health functions that included what came out of those work groups, what came out of added discussion by the entire group, and prioritized, here are the things that we're working on, areas that we're working together that we want to make sure we continue to put a lot of effort into, and what, most importantly, you know, what should we be doing? We prioritized work within that of what we wanted to work on together. So outcomes, you see the word common here a whole lot. It really, really did help a lot. There was a lot of energy in these discussion groups and commonalities, common language, common enthusiasm. It really helped to spread the depth of our collaborative efforts and our coordination. Recommendations that came out of it. Well, you just can't plan at all. And we might have gone into it thinking, oh, all our recommendations are going to be on more Pixie things. But, you know, no, the top one was, we need better IT support. And it's like, okay, if that's what comes out as the strongest message, then that's, you got to make sure you deal with that. And we are continuing to work with that. But then more along the line of what we had been expecting to prioritize things, you know, coming from the bottom up were data sharing, workforce training and development, outreach and social media. And then a very strong message back of, let's do this more. So it was very well received. So next steps, we'll form our cross-center work groups and revisit this coming fall. And so now we get to change to a different image than where we started. This is, you know, supposed to be a picture of, synergy and energy and, you know, as long as the power grid's on, maybe we're solar. Anyway, here's some resources. The first one takes you to the website for the National Public Health Performance Standards Program, and that gives the background of the 10 essential public health services, an explanation of what they are, and some very good training materials. Also, the link for the Public Health Accreditation Board, in case you all are approaching accreditation at state or local level. This has a lot of materials for how to prepare for that and how to get into that process. And then also the website for the National Coalition of STD Directors so that you can see the STD example of core components. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Barbara? I think we have time for one.
Yes, okay.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. I'm Maria Gordon from Washington State. I'm interested in your discussions around what are we doing now and what should we be doing. How were the discussions framed around what should we not be doing anymore? Because I know that's the hardest thing for us to talk about. People are quite attached to the work they're doing now. People feel well trained for the work they're doing now, and so moving staff along the continuum to what should we be doing and away from things that we feel like, well, these are things that public health shouldn't be doing anymore.
We didn't get into that a whole lot in this particular process. This particular process, the focus was more on what are things that we need to be doing together and what are the top three out of those. Though what we should not be doing has really come up much more out of our organization's response to things like the National HIV/AIDS Strategy. And those have been somewhat more internal to units, and we didn't do the completely merged approach that was described in Deanne's presentation. We have, an umbrella organization that has an STD unit and a TB unit and HIV care, HIV prevention. So far that has been approached more within individual units. But I would see that coming up again when we revisit strategic planning in the fall. And I know that as a lot, we have yet another level of reorganization that's going to be happening in just the next couple of weeks, and that will be giving rise to a lot more of that. But a good question. No, thank you.